Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, we're going to jump on the line for just a sec with Alan in Greer. Hey, Alan.
Good morning to you, Tara. Good morning.
Good morning. You're from New York. You're a longtime listener, you say. You're familiar with Columbia. What do you think about what's going on there?
Yes, I'm a New York escapee. I've been listening to you for 7 years. I'm Jewish. I was raised in New York. I went to the New York school systems. And I'm totally appalled by what I see, of course. I was raised, just so you know, conservative, leaning towards orthodox.
Okay.
So I'm very conservative. And what's going on is disgusting, to say the least.
Do you feel like, I mean, John Fetterman called the Democrat from Pennsylvania, called these protesters a-holes in anti-Semites. Are these people anti-Semites?
Yes. And he's being polite when he calls them an a-hole. I've got much worse words for them.
What is going on with the left? It seems like the left has thoroughly embraced anti-Semitism. Why would they do that? I mean, Jewish people have been some of their most loyal supporters.
Well, it's very scary to me. I do have family that's up there. I have family that are exceedingly progressive. And they lean away. How about if I tell you I have a mother-in-law who ran from the Germans during World War II, and she thinks that Biden is the most delightful individual you can meet, and that what she sees she does not see what's going on at all. It's frightening how their bubble, the echo chamber that these people live in, is amazing how tight it is.
Is it that they're liberal first? Why can't they see the danger here for Jewish? I mean, when you have Columbia telling Jewish people, you have a Columbia rabbi saying, oh, hey, don't come to school. It's too dangerous for Jewish people. You have a Columbia professor who's a business professor, who's Jewish, wants to lead a counter protest peacefully. And he finds his access card to campus has been deactivated and they stop him at the gate and they say they can't protect him from the pro-Hamas supporters. I mean, you look at that. What can you explain this to me? I just don't understand.
I'm not sure I could explain it. I did see it. I was watching it last night on the news. It's capitulation by Columbia to the Hamas is by locking him out. That's kind of obvious. And could they really protect him? Let's be serious. New York does. Columbia doesn't have enough security to protect him. So I'm not sure I disagree. I think they did it in a wrong way. And I think he's a little foolish to want to step into the fray. It wasn't going to prove anything. There are better ways to do it, and you know that as well as I do. It was just an abomination, what's going on to begin with. I mean, I have grandkids that are still up in New York.
At the same time, though, why not flip what you just said around and say it's an abomination that these Hamas supporters are allowed to run wild and be so dangerous that they have to deactivate the pass card of a Jewish professor because the Hamas supporters might hurt him, yet we have to tolerate the Hamas supporters. I'm afraid this is going to spread to campuses all over the country and then God knows where else.
I agree with you there about flipping it. It should have been flipped, without a doubt. But they are so petrified of what the progressives want and what the optics would be if they did that. The school is completely, I know people that went to Columbia. I've been there many, many times in my youth. I'm 72 years old, and I do have several degrees. It's nothing like it used to be. The professors are all left-wing. Even the Jewish ones are left-wing. And there is even some history as to why Jewish professors and Jewish intellectuals love the Marxist ways. It's in their blood, almost. I have an aunt who was two educational master's degrees, and she was as communist as you can imagine. She came out of Poland at the age of about 14 or 15 after World War II. It's in their blood. My people didn't come from that area of Europe. They came from Lithuania, so we're a little different, but we're conservative. There's no answer as to what's going on in that bubble inside. Maybe it's the water in New York, California, and Chicago. I don't think anybody has a full answer. Jordan Peterson really doesn't. Alan Dershowitz certainly doesn't. And he's another one who says he hates what he sees, but he still has to vote Democrat.
It's unbelievable.
So, yes,
it's unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, this is like the beginning of, you know what I'm waiting for? There was a story this morning on America's Real News about a pallet of bricks being found now.
Yes.
And I am waiting for that first brick to go through that first glass. It is, only a matter of time. You and I both know it.
Yes, I agree with you. A couple of people have already used the word Kristallnacht. It's a frightening situation.
It is.
And my mother-in-law still doesn't see it. As I said, she lives now in Florida. And she ran from the Germans and still can't see it.
What do you think it will take for them to see it, or they're just never going to see it, no matter how violent these leftists create? And do they understand Act Blue? Okay, that is the arm of the Democrat Party that provides the funds for their street activism. Act Blue is by bonding these people out last week. They're bonding them out. I mean, Democrats aren't just tolerating free speech conversations. They're bonding out the people on the violent side of this.
The only thing I can say, as I left you a note there, I'm a gunsmith in Greer, so I'm a weird Jew. Let's
you are awesome, is what you are.
I'm a gun dealer and a gunsmith. And the only answer I can say is when it hits home personally, that's the only way. Like when you hear one of them get carjacked, they turn around. Look at, what's his name, the comedian actor Michael Rapaport, who was so vile against Trump. All of a sudden, he has this epiphany that something is wrong here, and just maybe Trump is the right person. Something had to affect him directly. And I hate to say it, if I have a family member who gets beat up, that may change their way. Okay? I have cousins still in New York. One of them is exceedingly liberal and has been with the Soros group as an assistant. She's a photographer, and I can't understand this. And her sister, who dates a Israeli, who I never thought would put a gun in her hand, now owns a New York City carry permit.
Wow!
So something changed in my cousin's life, or maybe her boyfriend from Israel said, "Hey, this place ain't safe anymore. And here's why, and here is what it is." So they do turn, but it's so slow.
Yeah.
And I think they have to be hit with something. And I hate to use that term, because I think you and I probably would agree that with all the garbage that's coming over the borders and the types of people that are coming over, not all of them, I have to say that, but the majority of them, some event is going to occur probably before Election Day.
Well,
and
yes,
I need to say what that event is.
We had Christopher Wray, our FBI director, specifically say some of these people, he said under oath before Congress, coming over the border are coming here specifically to target Jews and Jewish communities.
Yep.
In America.
Yep. And the only thing I can say, if you already have a firearm, that's wonderful. You don't buy one. But if you do have, ammo up.
Well, thank you for listening to the show for 7 years, sir. I certainly appreciate you and just genuinely glad to know you're out there.
Well, you knew I was out here because I've texted you with the term INCNF at the end. That's me.
Okay. Well, I'll be sure to look for that in the future. You go right on selling those guns in the South where you're safe. And by the way, did you say that your pro-Democrat Jewish mother-in-law, where does she live again? Tell me.
She lives in Florida now.
I thought so. Uh-huh. I bet she feels real safe there. Yeah.
Well, yes and no. She does bitch and complain. fact, she doesn't like the governor there at all. She doesn't like DeSantis,
which is
typical for her.
Yeah.
But as I said, she ran from the Germans. That's how they came here.
Mm-hmm.
She came from not Czechoslovakia, from Slovakia, and she was old enough to know what was going on, and she does not see it.
Well, she's got one thing right. Florida is a safe place because red people do not put up with this crap that you're seeing
that
going
correct.
On in New York. We don't put up with this kind of intolerance that the left is displaying in New York. And I hope the rest of the country can see who and what these people are. Thank you so much for listening to the show. And
my pleasure, and a Aziz and Pesach to all your Jewish listeners.
Thank you, sir. Okay. So much going on this morning. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know where to begin. I got to dive back into the Trump trial because there's some stuff that you need to know. This is a huge week for the Republic, and it all hangs on Trump's conviction status. We'll have all that and more coming up.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Democrats vowing things we've never seen before, folks, things we never thought we would see. That's what Friday's Battleground America podcast is always about as we wrap the week up. It's my most popular podcast. Some of you who get busy during the week use it to catch up, and I'd invite you to do that. I know we've had some problems with the podcast lately, and we have to rely on our engineers at the corporate level to fix those, and they have fixed them. So I apologize for the problems downloading it. They are totally fixed now. It's free and clear. Please come back. And download the podcast, especially on Fridays where we do the Insane Things podcast. Again, you can find my podcast anywhere. And by the way, it always reliably downloads on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. I've always got it up with a link that always works on my social media. Those links are fine. Facebook, Twitter, my Telegram, all of the Gab, Getter, it's always there, and that will always work. We've just had the problems with the website. So if you are used to going to our website for my podcast, my Battleground America podcast, you've had some problems, you're a little traumatized by that, I get it. We've done everything we can to fix it. Know that the links on all those other places always work because they don't originate from us. So, and I hate to say that, but they do. They always work because they don't originate from us. Please don't miss that podcast, especially on Friday where we round things up. And it is amazing that every Friday I'm allowed. Yeah, that's amazing. But that I am able to do an Insane Things podcast. I fill it with just things we've never seen before. And this we've never seen before. The Democrats vowing to protect Republican Speaker Mike Johnson from removal by Republicans. Wow. Take a listen. This is Democrat Congressman Ro Khanna saying Marjorie Taylor Greene and these people in the Republican Party, they're not removing Mike Johnson because he's doing a wonderful job working for us.
Okay, you just said something significant. You said you would oppose the motion to vacate. In other words, you will protect Speaker Johnson's job if Marjorie Taylor Greene and the others go through with their threat to try to remove him.
I would, through the end of the term. I expect Speaker Pelosi, Jeffers will be there in 2025. But look, and I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think you would have a few progressive Democrats doing that. And I disagree with Speaker Johnson on many issues, and I've been very critical of him. But he did the right thing here, and he deserves to keep his job till the end of this term.
Okay, now here's the crazy part. What did he do? He did what Kevin McCarthy was removed for. Kevin McCarthy, you remember what Kevin McCarthy did? Kevin McCarthy used Democrat votes in the House to overcome the will of the majority of Republicans, to crush the majority of his own party using Democrat votes and some Republican votes. Not a lot, but some. Remember what he did. Joe Biden wanted to lock in the top line spending levels from COVID. Remember, we were chunking out checks, paying people to stay home for no apparent reason, we now know, because that didn't work. But whatever. We were paying them to stay home. Joe Biden wanted to lock in that level of spending. And so what do we do? He co-opted Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy used Democrat votes to overcome the will of the majority of Republicans. Republicans correctly removed him. He was a bad, bad man. Kevin McCarthy did another thing. This was the other reason they removed him. He refused to allow Republicans to have individual appropriations bills, like so one for each federal department. Why? Because then we could go in, we could cut out the money for the flights for the illegals to fly in. We could go in and cut out the free phone money. We could go in and cut out the money that pays for their trip up through Mexico. We pay for their food. We pay for their hotels. We pay for all of that. We could cut all that money out. We can defund all the evil things the Biden administration is doing. There's so many of them. But Kevin McCarthy wouldn't let Republicans vote on individual bills, which would allow us to go in and cut out stuff line by line, right? He would only do a continuing resolution, which is an up or down vote. You can't go in and cut. Republicans said, oh, heck no, we're not passing any more Democrat budgets. By God, we control the House. You're out of here. And they correctly got rid of Kev. You can't allow people to behave like that. So Mike Johnson came in, and he came in. This is what's incredible. On promises, no, he was going to allow, starting in January, he was going to allow Republicans to vote on individual appropriations bills so they could go through and cut. Have we seen any of those? No. But guess who does get individual bills that they could go in and do what they want? Democrats! This is incredible. Democrats. Mike Johnson promised, and he stuck to his credit, stuck with it for 6 months. Mike Johnson promised Republicans no Ukraine funding until we get border security. So he said, okay, we're going to put in the bill. We'll have a $60 billion bill for Ukraine funding, but Democrats are going to have to agree to Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. No more catch and release. No more flights into the country. We keep them outside the country and they can wait for asylum there. That was the Trump policy. Worked. Worked really well. And that's going to be in the Ukraine bill. So American border security first. The Republicans go to Mike Johnson and say, hey, can you separate out these bills so we can cut this stuff out? Johnson says no. Democrats go to Johnson and say, hey, can we separate out these bills so we can cut this stuff out? Like border security. We don't want border security. And Johnson says, sure. Okay. And so he separated out the bill for border security. He took it away from the Ukraine funding and went down in flames. A majority of Republicans voted for border security, but Johnson and the Democrats were able to defeat them. So when Ro Khanna is asked, what is, Ro Khanna is the Democrat, right? The Democrat congressman. What did Mike Johnson do that was so amazing? Listen to his answer.
Does Speaker Johnson deserve credit for how this played out?
He does. Yeah. And we had one issue, which was give individual votes. Don't lump things together. And I give him credit for doing this.
Yet Republicans have been trying to get Johnson to do that because he promised them he would. And the answer is no. I'm amazed by this, y'all. I am truly unbelievably amazed. I mean, it was the Democrats more than us that wanted that FISA bill with absolute total police state power. Any American can be forced to spy for the FBI on any other American. No court involved. When they show up at your house, they gag you immediately. So you can't tell anyone you're being forced to break the law. You're being forced. A better way to put it is to violate the Constitution. Total evil. They got that too. So I'm fascinated because Mike Johnson was against that when he became speaker and very much so on the record. How? Was it, I try to think like what's the most obvious thing, right? I want to go conspiratorial. I mean, look, they could say to the guy, look, you're only going to be speaker for what, 8-9 more months max? Republicans aren't putting you back in. They know you're a Democrat. So why don't you make $15 million? We'll give you committee appointments, at big banks or something, and it'll total out $15-20 million over 5 years. With some money. I mean, that'd be the most obvious thing. Were they blackmailing him? You know what's interesting? If he had immediately come in office and he'd been this way, you'd go, okay, we got fooled. He was one of them, but he wasn't. He wasn't. He blocked that Ukraine funding and held out for border funding for 6 months before he gave in. How'd they do it? And if they can do it to Johnson, is there anyone they can't do it to? Or is every Republican speaker from now on just going to be a Democrat speaker who happens to have run as a Republican? I don't know, but it's a serious question after this morning. Anyway, I just find that amazing. Again, Democrats vowing, if Republicans try to remove Mike Johnson, we progressive liberal Democrats are going to step up. We're going to vote to keep him. Because he answers to us now. Well, 20-year high in the use of my favorite drug. I began craving it the night before. I do. I go to sleep craving coffee, and it makes me excited that I get to get up and have it in the morning. I used to wonder why I did that, and then I found out that it has like a 12-hour half-life, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, when I'm going to sleep, it's out of my body, and I'm an addict, so it makes sense. And I'm happy with being an addict, and apparently so are Americans. 20-year high in coffee consumption. 67% of adults in the U.S. say they drank coffee in the last 24 hours. It's according to the National Coffee Association, so we know where they're coming from. But still, that is more than a 20-year high. Back in 2004, less than half of U.S. adults had coffee in the past day. Today, it is 67%. Why do you think it's up like that? I mean, what, you know, that is a significant increase in usage. It's almost 40%. And they're saying it's driven by consumers age 25 plus, although the greatest increase is among consumers 60 plus, whose past day consumption increased by 9%. So those are huge numbers. I guess good for big coffee. I love coffee, as you know. Couldn't do the show without it. Okay. So here's where we are today. Here's Jonathan Turley talking about the first day of the Trump trial. How ridiculous this was.
What is clear is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did, in fact, capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way.
Now, listen, here's the crazy part. Hillary actually did what they're trying Trump for. Remember me talking about that? In order to create the Russia collusion hoax, they improperly paid a foreign national to create the Steele dossier. That is a felony. You cannot pay campaign funds to a foreign national. You can also not lie about what the funds were used for. The Hillary campaign did both, so it's a felony and a misdemeanor. Here's Turley pointing that out. Hillary literally did what Trump is on trial with a 34-count felony trial for.
This is what Hillary Clinton's people did. You know, remember when they funded the Steele dossier, which they denied to reporters, they put it as a legal expense. And then they fought the eventual fine that they received from the federal government saying, but it was a legal expense. But now you've got some of the same Democrats supporting this bizarre theory.
Yeah. And the most galling of all was that the arguments opened yesterday charging Trump with election interference for paying off, allegedly, these two women. Meanwhile, Hillary literally cooked up a fake Russia collusion hoax, got the FBI on board with it, even though they knew the whole time it was fake, got the CIA on board with it, even though they've known it was fake since the summer of 2016. And we know that because we have it in John Brennan's own handwriting. And she committed a misdemeanor, her campaign did anyway, misdemeanor and a felony to fund the whole thing. She on trial. You see her on trial anywhere? No? Okay. Unbelievable. But even more galling is who the prosecutor leading this is. He is the number three from the Biden Department of Injustice, who's been brought over and brought down to be essentially a county prosecutor so that he can try Trump. Well, so that Biden can try Trump is more like it.
Trump insists that there's coordination between Bragg's office and Washington. Bragg's office says, no, there's no coordination. Yet, what do we see at trial today? The prosecution being led in part by Matthew Colangelo, who was the former associate attorney general of the United States, who gave up that plum position to go back and become a state prosecutor. Does that seem a little unusual?
Well, you can only imagine what Trump was thinking. This is like playing poker with someone with their cards facing outward. I mean, the first person they bring up is the very guy that they got from the Biden Justice Department who's leading this effort. And that only reaffirms and supports this narrative, right, that This is all coordinated. It's a mystery to me why they would do that, except there is a chilling reality here. It doesn't matter. It's New York. That is, if the fact is that most people in most courts would be like, whoa, let's not start with the former Biden justice attorney to make this argument. But in New York, it doesn't matter because not much else matters except the name of the defendant on the caption, Donald Trump.
So they're not even hiding it, okay? This is not how you hide this. You don't bring in the number three from the Biden Justice Department to persecute and prosecute Trump. Even more incredible is what's going on with the gag order today. The key witness is Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen has been found guilty of the crime of perjury. In other words, lying under oath. He is the key witness, okay? So right now, Michael Cohen is on a media tour. Yeah, he's the key witness in Trump's case. He's on a media tour. And in this media tour, he is trashing Trump over and over and over and over every single night on cable TV. Is he gagged by the judge? No. Now, only Trump is gagged. Trump is not allowed to defend himself from what Michael Cohen is saying. Just try to comprehend that. But Cohen is allowed to run out and run his mouth all he wants. We'll have more on that coming up. Incredible. Okay, Trump theoretically could end today in jail. It'd be a little earlier than their scheduled plan for him because he's got to fight back. He's been gagged, okay? And he's been gagged from talking about the witness. They did that so that the witness, Michael Cohen, a crooked liar and perjurer who's been convicted of lying under oath, he is a convicted criminal as well, can continue his media tour. What Cohen is doing, he's Trump's former lawyer, but he's also their star witness. He is conducting a media campaign. So they get him on all the liberal news every night, trashing Trump, lying a lot of the time so as to poison the jury. Well, Trump has to defend himself. The problem is he's gagged and Cohen is not. Who allows their chief witness to go on television every night? Crooked Democrat kangaroo courts. That's it. You could hear Carly Shimkus this morning in her voice. She just can't believe it. I mean, it's amazing what they're allowing right now.
About this gag order, so Donald Trump is not allowed to talk about any of the witnesses, and that would include Michael Cohen, who is at this point a public figure and who is on a media tour bashing Donald Trump. How is that fair?
It's not fair, and he's also a known liar, Michael Cohen is.
So unbelievable. Trump is also gagged, has violated the gag order because he won't stop talking about how this judge is breaking the law. This funny thing, the judge is actually literally breaking the law, whereas Trump did not break the law. Or if he did, statute of limitations is passed. That's the hilarious part about this, the irony. So right now, Alvin Bragg is seeking to have a maximum penalty for the gag order. He wants him found in contempt of court. That could, one of the punishments for that could be jail, or maybe they'll jail him next time. I don't know. Up to 1,000 a post. He's done 7 posts, so you know, we'll see. But at this point, I don't think he's right. I think he has to go to jail. If that's what it takes to fight back, he cannot allow Cohen, the star witness, to go out there and trash him every night on TV. With lies, by the way. Sorry, with total lies. So that's the status of this. Meanwhile, you have the absolute galling situation of Michael Colangelo, the number three at the Biden Justice Department, has taken a lowly job as a county prosecutor. Has quit his number. This is ridiculous. Quit his number three at the Justice Department position because he suddenly wants to be a New York prosecutor. And that's the county, not the state. Nobody does that. But why is he doing it? So Biden could personally control Trump's prosecution. He was the number three in Biden's Justice Department. Here's Molly Hemingway on that. And here we go. Well, we'll get that on the other side.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.